with him like moments ago about starting new events and the advancements that they're making within the nonprofit and everything. And hold on one second. Sorry. So with the Catholic Worker, unfortunately, my schedule changed. So I haven't been able to volunteer on a day-to-day basis like I was doing in the past, but they still have a lot of other things that you can do to still support them and help them out. So obviously I'm continuously talking about them all the time to make sure that people are aware, because the Catholic Worker isn't something that's only in Vegas. They have chapters in cities all over the nation, so you can find them in your own backyard. They also collect plastic bottles so that you can they can pass them out to the homeless so they can refill them during the day. So I save my plastic bottles and I make sure all my friends know, like, save your bottles, and then I drop those off. And then every year they have what is called an empty bowl event. And when they do that, that's where they rent out – well, not really rent. I'm assuming it's probably donated – the cafeteria at one of the high schools. And people from all over the city, you come in and they sell pottery. And so you buy bowls and then you go and you go through a soup line and you fill your bowls with whatever soup you want. And then they sell cacti, which apparently cats like to eat because all the ones that I bought last year, my cat ate them. But they have cacti, and then they have a silent auction of art. And then there's just tables upon tables of bowls. So I have whole collections of these bowls because all the proceeds go towards the Catholic Worker so they can restock their pantry. Because not only do they have a soup line on Wednesday through Saturday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m., they also put together care packages for families that are in North Las Vegas that aren't going to have the means to get all the groceries and necessities that their family needs. So they put together care packages and drop them off to them as well. So those are the two ways that I have, well, three ways, I guess, that I've really been focusing on them. And then with Falling Whistles, with that nonprofit, they holistically work towards peace in the Congo. And so they've been around for about 6 or 7 years now. And we have spread ourselves completely internationally, but spread ourselves a little bit too thin. So now we're working on just getting that ball rolling and making sure people know about us and that what we stand for and how peaceful of an organization it is. They never blame anybody for anything. We just work together and create knowledge and create conversation and really put our foot down to say that we're not going to stand for these things. And then we assist the Congolese in setting up sustainable businesses for themselves, versus being an organization that goes in, drops off food and t-shirts, and it's like, all right, cool, good luck. Like, let's see how long that lasts you. So we really help them to be able to help themselves. And so the way that I help with that is bringing awareness by talking about it. I have a whistle, which they are also available on fallingwhistles.com. And if you put the promo code Olivia Black, all one word, and when you check out, then you get free shipping, so that's always nice. So that helps to start the conversation, because people are always going to ask what the whistle stands for. So as you wear your whistle and people ask about it, then you can tell them. And literally 100% of the people that I have talked to about it when they ask have been completely interested and gone home and bought whistles. So thankfully, everybody can get behind it. So I put together events in Las Vegas, and I do a whole collective event with those as well, because that's definitely a word that is one of my favorites. And so I've got like bands and artists and photographers and all kinds of different things all set up and hang out and celebrate peace and really care about, you know, where our planet is going in the future. So those are my two near and dears.
Very good, very good. So, I mean, following on that, I mean, it seems to be you're involved with a lot of mutual aid kind of thing, where, you know, it's kind of we empower individuals to rise, would you say that your general philosophy, whether it's your modeling, whether it's your philanthropy, and whether it's just your philosophy on life, would you say empowering the individual and being an individual is central to what you think is right?
Oh, without question, without question. Like, I've never been one to be jealous of anybody else's, you know, accomplishments and successes. When I see other people doing things that I might want to do, or like a variation of something that I want to do, all I see is like hope, because they've accomplished something either just like what I want or near to what I want. And it makes me realize, like, these dreams aren't lost in me. They are completely accomplishable. So when I start accomplishing things, all I do is I'm like, all right, who around me is kind of in the same idea as this particular idea? And like, who wants to come with me? Like, do you want to? Do you like this? Do you like this idea? Like, let's go. Let's do this together. Because I never see myself as that person that's standing on stage in this, like, room full of people and it's just about me. I see myself standing on a stage with 100 million people around me, and it's all about us. It's things that we have stood together and accomplished. And I was actually talking to a friend of mine the other day about, like, groups of actors now. You have so many groups of actors that it's these little tiny groups that you see constantly all together in movies. And that's exactly how I see my life, is like, it's not you get one of us, you get all of us. And it makes it so much easier to move forward, because we are still individuals and you still bring your own essence to the group and to everything that's happening. But those moments that you start to lose faith in yourself and start to lose faith in your dream, you have these people that are next to you that are pushing for the same thing, that are like, no, no, like, stand up, get your stuff together. Like, you can do this. We've all had our bad days. It's not going to be like this, and let's keep going. So I like that a lot better than standing by myself.
Very nice. I happened to notice, folks, we're doing this, by the way, via video. I happen to notice there's we speak on individualism, and I notice two individualist titles behind you, written by a very interesting author. Would you like to tell us? I mean, are you a fan of Miss Rand?
Actually, those books were given to me, and from the synopsis that I was told about the books, I am going to be what I think an enormous fan. But unfortunately, they were given to me recently, so I have not had an opportunity to read them, because I'm currently reading like 5 different books that people have given me all at one time, because everybody calls me, like, they gave me the book yesterday and they call and they're like, have you read it? Like, I read fast, but my goodness, like, I've got a lot going on right now. So yeah, the list of books that I'm currently reading is extensive, and that's on the list.
All right, folks, to be continued.
Yes. I want to start a book club, so maybe that'll start the book club.
Hey, wouldn't be the first book club to start with it. Now, recently on Suicide Girls, you published a video about your tattoos, and through the video, it kind of became like a visual autobiography. You know, really, just these were all extensions of yourself. Do you see your tattoos as that? What is the message that you think they convey about you?
I've always had this kind of idea that my skin was my personal yearbook, and I was going to decorate it with stories of my life and be able to hold on to things, because even if a tattoo is something as trivial, like I have the Chanel symbol tattooed on my middle finger on my left hand. That's just because I really love Chanel and fashion and shopping and all things ladylike. And so it seems extremely trivial, but it goes into a lot of things that I appreciate as a female. And then I remember my mindset of when I got the tattoo and the conversations I had with my tattoo artist and the experience. So it's not always about the tattoo itself, but just the overall experience of everything having to do with it. My sparrow with the banner on my sleeve is what started my sleeve, and it's got Olivia Black in it. And it's because everybody always asks me, like, why would you tattoo your name on your arm? Apparently it's an extremely narcissistic thing to do. So I have that there because that's when I decided to model. And I went to get my tattoo done, and it has a banner. And the artist is like, all right, well, what do you want to put in the banner? Like, well, obviously I'm not putting any sort of lover's name in there. I'm not stupid. And I'm not going to put, like, mom or something, because that's just far too cliche for me to be comfortable with. So I put that name in there because it was for me to remember that I was going after this career and all the dreams and hopes that I had, which is why I moved to Vegas. And I started this about a month after moving to Vegas. And it was also my way so that if when I'm 70, 80, 90 years old and I've never made it to modeling, that I can remember, like, at one point in time, I was